Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. There we go. In my absent-mindedness, I left my microphone in the fellowship hall. So Joe is going to go get it for me while I go ahead and get started on the announcements. Today is the third Sunday of the month, so we will be taking up our basket offering after the regular offering, and it will go this month to GLAMA, which is the Greater Lexington Area Ministerial Association. Thank you very much. GLAMA helps folks in Lexington and the surrounding area if they need help with rent or utilities or things like that. And so since we don't have a lot of those folks who come to Holly Grove, but we want to give to our community, we contribute to that to help folks out. Tomorrow night, the Agape Circle is meeting at Libby Carrick's house at 6 o'clock. So if you're interested, see Libby after worship. And next Sunday, we are going to have our blessing of the backpacks for students and teachers because school starts next week already. I know teachers are already back and summer went by so quickly, but please bring your backpacks next week. We have little tags and we'll offer a blessing over you in the upcoming school year. And to further bless our community, we're having a school supplies drive that will go to Davis Townsend Elementary School. And so if you'd like to purchase some school supplies to help children in need, that would be wonderful. We have a couple of cards today. This is from Karen Copley, who is a dear friend of Janice. I want to tell you how much the prayer shawl has meant to me. It has been a comfort and warmth during my illness and recovery. I'm blessed to have people who care so much. May God bless you. And then a card from Jody Hernandez, who recently lost both her mother and father. And she says, "Dear Holly Grove family, thank you for all of your love and support. Your hugs mean more than I can express. Love, Jody." And speaking of prayer shawls, we have three of them today to bless. One is for, I'll switch out here so I can go over there. One is for Janine Hamilton's great niece, Rawlings Huggins, who has recently been born, but she is a preemie, born 2 months early. And so we're going to bless this prayer shawl and bless Rawlings that she will become big and healthy and strong. This is for Gordon Plyler, who is a friend of many folks here at Holly Grove. He has recently been diagnosed with cancer. So Marie made this Clemson-colored prayer shawl for him. And then Sarah Lambert is Tracy Summers' great niece. She's 5, and she was just diagnosed with a bone disease that will cause the bones in her hips to deteriorate. And so sooner rather than later, she will probably need hip replacements as a teenager or young adult. And if you'll notice, there are quite a few additions to the prayer list. They just kept coming in this week. There are a lot of needs in our community, a lot of people struggling with a lot of things. And one addition that did not make it into the bulletin, but it will this next week, Teresa Connor, whose husband Robert just died. Teresa has been diagnosed with uterine cancer. And so she asked to be on our prayer list as well. So cut that out, put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible as you do your devotion so that daily you can look over the prayer list and keep these folks in prayer. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the prayer shawl ministry here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Thank you for the folks who knit and crochet these. Thank you for the folks who contribute the yarn to make these. They truly are a blessing to folks who are celebrating, who are struggling, who are recovering, and who are just being born. We lift up to you Rawlings, who is just a little preemie, and we ask that you would help her to grow just like Jesus grew, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. We pray for Sarah, who is struggling with the limitations of her bones deteriorating, because that means that she can't run and play like she used to. And so we ask that as she's going through all of her appointments, as she is transitioning to what this new way of life will be like, that you would comfort her and that you would remind her that you love her and that she is so, so special. And we pray for Gordon, who has been diagnosed with cancer, that his treatment and his recovery from that would be overwhelmed with your love and grace. So we ask that you bless each of these prayer shawls, that as these folks feel the weight of these upon them, that they would feel the weight of our love and care for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Amen. And last but not least, we have a few birthdays, anniversaries, and baptisms to celebrate. This week, having a birthday, Kyle Murphy and Olivia Turner. Celebrating their anniversary, Boyd and Janice Queen. And remembering her baptism, Anna Lohr. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers us boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hi, Kate. It gets to be you and me today. It's a beautiful dress. Oh my goodness, it has sparkles and everything. And it has a butterfly. Did you get this new dress for school? Yeah? Sometimes the start of a school year is fun because we get to buy new notebooks and crayons and we get new clothes and new shoes. I heard you started school this week. How did it go? Was it good? Do you like your new teachers? How many teachers do you have? You have two? What are their names? Do you remember? Miss Michaela? And Miss Becky? Are they kind? Yeah? Let's see, what else? Does your school have some toys? How about a playground? Do you like to play on the playground? Yeah? Well, as exciting as a new school year can be with new school supplies and new clothes and getting to make new friends and new teachers, sometimes it can be a little bit scary too, right? Don't you think it can be a little bit scary? Because it's different and there's some changes. But I just wanted to remind you that even when you're scared, that God is with you. That God loves you and God protects you and God takes care of you. And so if you feel scared at school, you just say, God, please help me. God, remind me that you're here with me. God, remind me that you love me. You can even ask God to give you peace. Say, God, please give me peace. So you can say all of those things because you know what? Every single place you ever go, God is with you. God is with you at home. God is with you when you go to bed. God is with you when you take a bath. God is with you when you swim in the pool. God is with you when you go to the grocery store. And God is with you when you go to school. So God is right there with you. You remember, you are never, ever alone, okay? Will you pray with me? Okay. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. As the new school year starts, we might feel excitement and some nervousness, and maybe even afraid. Remind us that you are always with us, and that your love is with us everywhere we go. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go to Children's Church.
A reading from 1 Samuel. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned him. He was buried in Ramah, his hometown. The Philistines set up their camp at Shunem, and Saul gathered all of the army of Israel and camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the vast Philistine army, he became frantic with fear. He asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams, or by sacred lots, or by the prophets. Saul then said to his advisors, "Find a woman who is a medium, so I can go and ask her what to do." His advisors replied, "There is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself by wearing ordinary clothing instead of his royal robes. Then he went to the woman's home at night, accompanied by two of his men. "I have to talk to a man who has died," he said. "Will you call up his spirit for me?" The woman said, "Well, whose spirit do you want me to call up?" "Call up Samuel," Saul replied. "What do you see?" Saul asked. "I see a divine being coming up out of the earth," she said. "What does he look like?" Saul asked. "He is an old man wrapped in a robe," she replied. Saul realized it was Samuel, and he fell to the ground before him. "Why have you disturbed me by calling me back?" Samuel asked. "Because I am in deep trouble," Saul replied. "The Philistines are at war with me, and God has left me and won't reply by prophets or dreams. So I have called for you to tell me what to do." Word of God, word of life. The psalm selection is from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning,
and settle at the farthest limits of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me.
Gospel according to Mark, the 15th and 16th chapters. Glory to you, O Lord. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, the sun had risen and they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised, and he is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to one another, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love fiction stories, whether in the form of TV shows or movies or books. Over the years, I have visited some wonderful places in my imagination, places like Narnia and Hogwarts and Green Gables, places where I have met characters who have become like friends to me. With recent technology, these fictional places and characters can seem more real, because for television shows and movies, the ability to make everything look so real is kind of beyond comprehension. And this ability is great for our entertainment, but it can really confuse things in our minds as to what's real and what isn't. The line between fiction and nonfiction can become so blurred that we no longer know what's true and what's real and what isn't. In the case of our faith and things related to our faith, this can become especially problematic because we've come to believe so many things that aren't actually based in Scripture, things that aren't based on God's character. For example, how many of you remember the show several years ago, Touched by an Angel? I enjoyed that show, and I watched it regularly. It had some wonderful stories in it. But its depiction of angels was not accurate. Right? Angels aren't humans. Angels don't transform into human bodies to come and minister to people on earth. And humans certainly don't become angels when we die. In the Bible, angels are a different kind of creature than humans are. Like a horse is a different kind of creature than a human. A horse doesn't become a human after it dies. In the Bible, angels have multiple wings and multiple eyes and appear to be creatures that we would find more in science fiction novels and movies and things that we would probably think more of as extraterrestrial beings or even monsters. I mean, think about it. The first thing that an angel says every time they encounter a human in Scripture is, "Don't be afraid." The appearance of angels must be absolutely terrifying, right? So to be angelic isn't to be a beautiful, glowing human with two feathery wings. To be angelic is actually to be quite scary. The point here is that we believe many things that we read or see on television or in the movies, instead of believing what we find in Scripture and what we know about God's character. Which brings us to the part of the Apostles' Creed that we are exploring today. Jesus descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. Nearly everything that many Christians believe about the afterlife, both heaven and hell, isn't based on Scripture, and it's certainly not based on the character of God. Instead, most of what Christians believe about the afterlife comes from movies and television shows and literature. In fact, the word hell doesn't even appear in any language until 725, 700 years after Jesus died. For 700 years from the time Jesus died until that word appeared, that word just wasn't even in anyone's vocabulary. And then later, the Latin word that is now translated as hell simply means the regions below or the lower places. Yes, the word hell does appear in English translations of the Bible. But when it does, it's not a good translation, because hell isn't a biblical word, and it's not a biblical concept. This is why we no longer say in the creed that Jesus descended to hell. We say he descended to the dead. So let's look at some descriptions of hell, or the afterlife, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, because those were the scriptures that Jesus knew and believed in. So if by hell we mean a place of torment and punishment after death, like many Christians think of it, there are zero descriptions of hell in the Old Testament. Zero. In the Old Testament, when someone dies, they go to Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead where everyone goes to await the resurrection on the last day. We see this understanding in the Gospels. In John 11, Jesus is talking to Martha after Lazarus has died. And before Jesus raised Lazarus, Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Sheol was the place of the dead. It wasn't a place of torment or joy. It was just a place where everyone went when they died. The story we heard from 1 Samuel this morning of the medium from Endor summoning Samuel indicates that people in the Old Testament believed in Sheol because that's where Samuel came from. So how do you think it is that we got from this Old Testament understanding of the afterlife, the belief that Jesus would have held because he was a very, very faithful Jew, to what we think nowadays? Well, I think there are several reasons that we got from one place to another. One, I think it's because of errors in translation, both of the Old and New Testaments. Two, I think it's because people take pieces of scripture and they take it out of context and make it mean something that it absolutely doesn't. We see this all the time with the book of Revelation. People have twisted that book to mean something that it does not mean at all. And then finally, I think we went from one understanding of the afterlife to this one because of fictional depictions that we have read in literature and seen in the movies and on TV. In 1320, an Italian poet named Dante wrote The Divine Comedy, which depicted hell as a place under the earth's surface with 9 levels of suffering, where sinners were bitten by snakes, tormented by beasts, showered with icy rain, and trapped in rivers of blood or flaming tombs. This story from 1320 is where we get most of our beliefs about hell from. Not from scripture, and certainly not from God's character. For centuries, horrifying images of an afterlife have been used to manipulate fear into people so that people will accept Jesus and be saved. But this tactic goes completely against scripture and completely against God's character. Because one, salvation is God's work, and God's work alone. Two, fear is not from God, and God never, ever manipulates fear into people to make them believe. And three, perfect love casts out all fear. So what does it mean when we say that Jesus descended to the dead? It means that Jesus was fully 100% completely human. It means that Jesus had a real death. It means that Jesus did what every single human does when they die. He descended to the dead. He went to the place where the dead go. And because Jesus went to the place where the dead go. It means that there is no place that is out of the reach of God's love. There is no place that God's love does not go before us. There is no place where God's love does not follow us there. Like the psalm proclaims for today, even in Sheol, even in the place of the dead, God is there. Brothers and sisters, this is what we know about the character of God, that God is love and God's love is relentless. God's love is completely unfazed by time and by space and even death. By going to the place of the dead, Jesus has claimed every single human experience, even death, with his love. Nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life. No thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in rising from the dead on that third day, Jesus has defeated death and has triumphed over it forever. So often we think and we feel that death has power over us, but in light of Jesus' resurrection, death has completely lost all its power. Death doesn't have the victory over us. Death doesn't have the last word over us. God's love has the victory, and God's love has the last word over us. Because God's love chases after us. God's love is absolutely relentless, and there is no place, no experience that is out of the reach of God's love. This is most certainly true. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in trust and open trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in
Jesus Christ, God's only Son,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for our church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O God, your Spirit gathers the church. Shepherd those who are newly baptized and newly ordained in the proclamation of the gospel. Breathe life into ecumenical and interreligious endeavors, and support missionaries throughout the globe. Hear us, O God. You created the earth and all its inhabitants and declared it good. Clean polluted skies, seas, and soil. Provide nourishment to plants and animals and make us aware of our impact on the environment. Bring relief to areas recovering from natural disasters, especially Hawaii. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call leaders to bridge differences and practice generosity. Inspire all in authority to protect people in harm's way, deliver those in bondage, support fair elections, provide care for military personnel and veterans, and show mercy to those for whom they have responsibility. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Embrace people who have been rejected because of difference. Heal trauma caused by racism or prejudice. Shield any who are persecuted. Console the dying and heal the sick, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Kent, Bobby and Jana, Sandra, Caroline, Herbert, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. O God, you journey with us in all of life's transitions. Guide those preparing for baptism, marriage, and retirement. Guide our church council and committees in their visioning and ministry. Hear us, O God. We give you thanks for those who now rest from their labors. Motivate us by their lives of dedication to the gospel until that day when we join with them in our eternal home. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory.
Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made,
it is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
stand as you are able for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast,
the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Serve the Lord.